KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a partly to mostly cloudy sky. It's 4 degrees above zero. We look for skies to be mostly clear or sunny this morning and partly cloudy this afternoon, a high of 32. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. We do have a handful of schools that are starting late this morning. There's a two-hour late start for Adair Casey Guthrie Center. Also, their classes begin at 10:20 and offices at ACGC open at 10 a.m. Audubon has a two-hour late start. There's no morning preschool activities today at Audubon and no early dismissal this afternoon. Bedford schools are starting 2 hours late. CAM is on time, but buses are on hard surfaces only. Coon Rapids Bayard has a two-hour late start. Classes start at 10:20, offices open at 10 a.m., and there is no early dismissal today for Coon Rapids Bayard. Lenox is starting 2 hours late. Nottoway Valley is on time, but buses are on hard surfaces only. Panorama and Southwest Valley schools are 2 hours late. West Central Valley schools also 2 hours late, and their buses will run on hard surfaces only. The professional development at West Central Valley is canceled for today, and classes will dismiss at their normal time. In the news, police in Council Bluffs were called at around 3:45 p.m. yesterday to assist paramedics at 43 Wenwood Drive. Upon arrival, officers learned there was a man inside the residence needing both medical and psychological care. He had barricaded himself in the home and was in possession of firearms. The emergency services team and crisis negotiators were called in to assist. Negotiators spoke with the man on the phone for about 2.5 hours before he peacefully surrendered. He was then taken to a local hospital for evaluation. And due to his needs being medical in nature, authorities are not releasing his identity at this time. News time is 7:08. Police in Creston report the arrest Tuesday afternoon of a man on an assault charge. 39-year-old Aaron James Reapy of Apton was taken into custody for domestic abuse assault. Reapy was later released from the Union County Jail on a $700 bond. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Tuesday approved a claim with the Iowa Communities Assurance Pool, or ICAP, with regard to a wrongful termination suit. And while not naming the individual who sued the county, KJAN has learned it was brought by a former employee of the county assessor's office. Specific details of the settlement were also not released, but Board Chair Steve Byers said the county's gross responsibility for payroll wages was $2,500.
Net amount was $1,972.95.
And Supervisor Steve Green said afterward, "Thank God for insurance." In other business, the board approved the appointment of Ryan Woodward from the Lewis area to fill a vacancy term as Cass Township Trustee, and that'll be through December 31st, 2022. He succeeds David Den, who passed away January 23rd. And the board approved a plan to resurface Olive Street from the Atlantic City limits northward to the Audubon County line. The work involves a hot melt asphalt resurfacing of the road. That project will go out for bids from this point forward, and then they'll work on getting the road done. And the Atlantic City Council will hold a special session this evening at 6:15 at City Hall to make a decision with regard to ownership of the Atlantic Senior Center. City Administrator John Lund says the council has three options to consider before making their decision. Option one is to eliminate the 13.5 cent per $1,000 property valuation tax levy from the budget and solicit sealed bids for the building as is. Under that option, the council cannot later change its mind and sell the building without leaving the roof to deteriorate until July 2020. Option two is to maintain the tax levy and solicit bids for the building with a repaired roof. Repair the roof in July of this year, collect taxes to repair the roof through the fiscal year 2020 cycle, and then sell the building in July of 2020. Lund notes the council cannot deactivate the levy or sell earlier than July 2020 under option two, but they can choose to reject all bids and keep the building without consequence. And the third option is to maintain the levy and the tax levy and choose to keep the building, then repair the roof this year and collect taxes to repair the roof through the fiscal year 2020 cycle. The council, he says, may choose to sell the building anytime after July 2020 then, but may not sell it sooner under option three. And eliminating the tax levy from the budget and deciding not to sell the building or soliciting bids is not an option, and expect a roof to repair by the city and under that circumstance is July 2020 if the levy is not activated. That decision must be done, though, by February 20th. Lund says that the council remains uncomfortable committing to the sale of the property. No action needs to be taken. The budget will retain the property tax levy, and the earliest date the city could sell the property if it reconsiders the decision would be July 2020. Lund will recommend to the council act on option one, which will restore the employee benefits levy to its current rate. If a motion to that effect fails, he will interpret it to mean the city wishes to maintain ownership and wishes to see the roof of the building repaired. If the council wishes to sell the building but fix the roof first, that will bind them to the decision, as the levee will remain intact and the sale delayed until repairs are completed. In the funeral announcements, Grace Anderson, age 98, of Casey, died Friday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Grace Anderson will be today at 11 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Alan Larson, age 92, of Elkhorn, died Monday. Funeral services for Alan Larson will be on Thursday, tomorrow, at 11 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Leo Tucker, age 76, of rural Bridgewater, died Sunday. Funeral services for Leo Tucker will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Dorothy Christofferson, age 93, of Audubon, died February 7th at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Dorothy Christofferson will be on Friday at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Frances Louise Scott, age 94, of Coon Rapids and formerly of Carroll, died February 6th. Funeral services for Frances Louise Scott will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the Don and Woodhouse Funeral Home in Carroll. Richard Wallace, age 88, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. A mass of Christian burial for Richard Wallace will be held Saturday at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has the arrangements. Merle Nelson Turner, age 88, of Omaha and formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday. A celebration of life luncheon for Merle Nelson Turner will be on February 23rd at noon at the Methodist Church in Atlantic. John Harlan Jake wrote, age 71, of Stewart, died Sunday in Des Moines. A gathering of family and friends memorial service for Jake wrote will be held March the 1st at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Mary Elnor Knaus, age 93, of Guthrie Center, died January 31st. A memorial mass for Elnor Knaus will be on April 27th at 11 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Harlan Carey, age 73, of Griswold, died Tuesday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Services for Harlan Carey are pending at the Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.